Welcome to the SB Nation Kansas City podcast. I'm Craig Brenner. Today we're joined by KC Star columnist, Black Keys enthusiast, and overall nice guy sometimes. Sam Mellinger from the KC Star joins us. Sam, how you doing today?
You're very kind. What's going on, Craig?
Oh, nothing much. We just had a big event here in Kansas City, the All-Star Game, big hoopla. Everyone knows. Yeah, I don't know if you heard about this All-Star Game that came through your town, Sam.
Yeah, I thought it turned out fantastic. I think people around here, people in Kansas City will understand, I think, what I mean by this, but people here were kind of worried, I think, about how the town would show and, some insecurities and things like that. I expected it to be great, and I thought that it was, like, two levels above what I thought it was going to be. I was absolutely blown away, and more importantly, people inside Major League Baseball were also blown away at the support, starting with the Futures game, the Home Run Derby, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and the game then last night that turned out to be kind of a dud, but, it was a dud that was cheered wildly like it was a World Series.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. I'm one of those people, when it got announced that Kansas City was having the All-Star game in 2012, I was nervous about how Kansas City would look. I'm not one of those people that care about what outside media think about Kansas City. I'm fine with living in Kansas City my entire life. I've born here. I'm probably going to die here. I'm fine with it. I just worry about how you can pull off something of this magnitude. I've been to NBA All-Star games in LA, and they know how to do those kind of things, and so I just didn't know the infrastructure of Kansas City, how it would work. But from everything I'm hearing, what you're saying is it was a wild success across the board from the national people who come in here and cover these things.
Yeah, you know what happened? And I got this feeling just talking to, people at the Royals, Kevin Ulick and some of these guys that were, intimately involved in putting this together. And when you say infrastructure, I assume, correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume that one of the big things you mean by that is the fact that the plaza is not close to downtown, which isn't close to the stadium.
Yes.
And there were just, some transportation issues that, we didn't have last year in Phoenix that, didn't exist in Pittsburgh, didn't exist to this magnitude in St. Louis. But the reason everybody knew that, all the people with the Royals, all the people with Major League Baseball, they were worried about two things. One was the heat, and one was the transportation. The first one you can't do anything about, obviously, not that it turned out to be an issue at all. It was, like, beautiful these last few days. But they were so worried about that transportation, I think. I got the feeling that they overcompensated, that, they had more buses than they probably needed. And, probably a coincidence, but they put in those bikes, downtown and by the plaza, or I guess just as north of as Crown Center, or south as Crown Center. My mind is mush today. I apologize. But, they just overcompensated about that transportation issue. And I think that really took care of a lot of people's worries.
As someone who was around all the All-Star events, correct me, I don't know, is this your, were you at the one in Phoenix last year?
I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if you've been to a bunch of the different All-Star events. What was your favorite aspect of the All-Star weekend and week that was in Kansas City? Was it Home Run Derby, Fan Fest, Futures Game? What was the one kind of thing that you were like, wow, this is kind of the shining moment of Kansas City when it came to hosting the All-Star game?
My favorite moment was the Home Run Derby. And I absolutely loved how the fans reacted. I thought it was hilarious. And good nature, the way that they booed Robinson Cano, unrelentingly. And I thought it showed support for Billy Butler. I thought that it was fans of Kansas City finally having, a baseball reason to be excited. And it all spilled out to me in a really kind of beautiful night. I've been shocked. I was shocked, I guess I should say. I'm with you. I'm not, what outsiders or national media especially think. I'm not, it's not my first, second, or third concern. But, I was just really blown away by how many people didn't understand that and took offense to it and, called Kansas City classless and all these things. And I think about, what if the roles were reversed and the game was in New York? And Billy Butler did, the same thing and got good-naturedly booed. People would have a completely different reaction. They would think that the Kansas or the fans were being tough, and, you know, this is what New York is all about. But when Kansas City does it, it's, you know, a reach for relevancy or some such nonsense that, that people need. But to me, you know, I'm like you. I didn't grow up in Kansas City, but close enough that, that we made a lot of weekend drives up for Royals games. And, you know, being in this, you know, sports scene, I guess, for my entire life, it just, it made me really proud, and it made me smile, and, you know, kind of, that, you know, Kansas City still got it. There's been, you know, 20 years worth of reasons for Royals fans to get beat down and walk away from this franchise, but they won't do it. And I think this week really showed that if and when the Royals become worthy of their passion again, though, they'll be right here waiting.
I don't know if you heard, Sam, apparently we're jerks for booing Robinson Cano.
Right.
We're Kansas City jerks.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, I see, and Craig, like, I think you're the same way. You know, like, we are two people that try to be reasonable, right?
Try, yes.
If, right. And so, you know, I always try to look at both sides. And I would say 99 times out of 100, I can, you know, I'll pick one side, but I understand why people are on the other side. You know, they have reasons that make sense to me. This is that other one out of 100. It just blew me away. I can't understand why people reacted the way that they did. And, you know, in the end, it really doesn't matter. But I'm just curious. I'm just like, it makes absolutely no sense. It's like, it's almost like, you know, you wake up and the sky is green or something. It was just like, wow, I cannot believe what is happening around here. It was crazy.
What was frustrating for me is we constantly get told, oh, you need to hold your players accountable, hold your team, the ownership, and everyone accountable. We held Robinson Cano accountable, and then apparently we're bad fans. And I'm with you when you talked about the support that the Kansas City Royals fan and fan base showed this past weekend. I'm 29, about to be 30. I was 2 when 85 happened. I don't really consider that being part of my lifetime. In fact, I try to distance myself from that because I don't want to live just in the past.
Sure.
And I've never seen this team win. A lot of my friends who are younger than me have never seen them win. But the passion that they have for it, I applaud. I have friends who are 23, 24, 25, and I'm like, how are you that diehard of a Royals fan? Because I do it for about half the season, and then it gets difficult to go out there all the time and be as just hardcore as you can. So I was very proud of these, you know, between 25 and 30-year-old Royals fans that go out there and show the support, and also went in there and spent the money this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's another really good point, is that, you know, and the Pirates are even in first place right now, right? And they've got a really exciting team, and the Nationals, I'm pretty sure, are still in first place. They've got, you know, Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg and all these other things. And those two franchises have been, you know, roughly as crappy as the Royals have. But the Pirates have been in the playoffs a lot more recently than the Royals. And they're in first place right now. No city, no fan base has been stuck with a playoffless team longer than Kansas City and the Royals. And I'm the same with you of sort of being, I don't know what the right adjective is, whether it's amazed or impressed or whatever, of all these, like, younger Royals fans. This is not a bunch of, you know, crotchety 71-year-old guys that are, you know, waxing about George Brett and Willie Wilson. I mean, these are, for a lot of them anyway, the loudest portion of Royals fans are, you know, like you just mentioned, your friends. They are 25-year-old people that know George Brett as the really tan and kind of wrinkly old guy that says crazy things every once in a while. They never, you know, they don't remember watching him play, but they fell in love with this team anyway. Whether, you know, it's like a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing, or, you know, whether they sort of remember Bo Jackson back in the day, or whether they, you know, just fell in love with the 5 or 6 or whatever years of Carlos Beltran, for whatever reason, there's a large chunk of young Royals fans that, when you think about what they've watched, just makes no sense. You know, it's they get more support than the franchise deserves, I think.
You mentioned it about being Royals fans and growing up around this area. The All-Star Game was in your backyard. Was there a moment where your kind of inner fanboy, your inner sports geek kind of came out, and there was something that just really was cool, whether it was at Fan Fest or seeing a certain player or a, you know, legend or a Hall of Famer walk by, that kind of just, like, made you stop and, like, wow, this is actually happening for me?
Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't have like one, you know, sort of, I look down at my watch and it's 7:02 p.m. on Monday. I can't, like, you know, it didn't crystallize like one single moment like that, but I had a lot of them over the 3 days, if that makes any sense. I mean, you know, I live downtown, so Saturday afternoon I just walked up to FanFest and, you know, saw fans or saw streets full of Royals jerseys. And and that's another thing, like, so this is the seventh All-Star game that I've been lucky enough to go to cover. And maybe it's just because last year's was in Phoenix, but other than, at least in my mind's eye, obviously there's, I didn't take official count or anything, but at least in my mind's eye, the only other All-Star game that I remember seeing, you know, more jerseys for the home team, or as many jerseys for the home team, was a few years ago when it was in St. Louis. You know, for the most part, and again, maybe it's just because, you know, last year was in Phoenix and nobody's really from Phoenix, and people don't, you know, they're not that passionate about their local sports teams there. But I just, you know, most of these things you see, you know, some jerseys of the home team, but then you see a lot of Cubs jerseys, a lot of Yankees jerseys, and a lot of, you know, Rangers or Rockies or Mariners or whatever else. I didn't see all that many. I don't know about you, but I just, I would think 80 or 90% of the jerseys that I saw, I feel like were Royals jerseys. They were, you know, Quisenberry and Bo Jackson and Mike Sweeney and Eric Hosmer and all these other things. And I thought that was pretty cool to see too. I just, you know, at least in my adult, you know, conscious lifetime, I've just never seen so many Royals jerseys. And, you know, that Futures game for, you know, I doubt many people that are going to listen to this have ever been to a Futures game, but I can tell you Futures games never look like that. Futures games look like a stadium that's maybe half full, and people that are sort of watching the game, but, you know, also drinking beer and just liking to be at a ballpark. That Futures game was 40,000 people packed and dying to see Will Myers and Jay Odorizzi and all these other things. I remember George Brett, either before or after the game, said, we're going to start Jake Odorizzi, you know, knowing that a lot of people wanted Dylan Bundy or thought that he was the best pitching prospect in baseball, mostly because he is. But, you know, why aren't you starting Dylan Bundy? And George Brett said, well, we're going to pitch him in the fourth or fifth. Usually at these things, more people are in the stadium in the fourth or fifth inning than are in, you know, for the first inning anyway. He was wrong about that. I mean, that's how it usually is. That's how it's been for every Futures game I've been to. But he was dead wrong about that. There were, you know, as many people in the first inning. I mean, it was packed throughout the game. That was – so I guess I'm giving you a very long-winded answer of it. It was just the whole unrelenting, never-stopping, you know, not even going away for a half a second passion that Kansas City showed for the event. That's my biggest takeaway by far.
Yeah, there was a shot in the All-Star game towards the end. It was like bottom of the eighth inning, I think. I was at home watching with my wife, and they showed the you know, aerial shot, and my wife goes, wow, that's what a stadium looks like when actually people fill it. And I said, that's what happens when you actually have people something to go to the stadium for. And that's what I was very impressed with, is usually we only see crowds like that when it comes to the home opener or maybe a Yankees or Red Sox or some kind of team like that. So I was very impressed with the fans that came out. We've talked about the positives with the All-Star game being here in Kansas City. Was there anything that you thought that the Royals or MLB or having the All-Star game in Kansas City that didn't go well or could have gone better, or was this just a straight A across the board?
I can't think of anything. No, I don't think that, you know, Kauffman Stadium – I mean, this isn't even worth bringing up, but I'm trying to stretch my brain to think of something that wasn't great, and nobody should care about this. I only sort of care about it, but, you know, the press box is too small. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's how far I'm reaching to find something. It was, no, I mean, I thought that, you know, FanFest was cool. I thought that, you know, the events went off really well. I was, you know, I guess I'll say this, like, the deal, you know, I keep bringing it up, but, you know, Monday night, the Home Run Derby, like, that could have turned ugly, I think, if Robinson Cano reacted differently to it, you know, if he was hurt or if he, you know, said that, God, why are all these people in Kansas City such a-holes? But, you know, he took it in really good humor and had a smile on his face. If you saw what he did on Twitter, you know, he took it exactly in the right way that I think that it was intended. I think that was some kind of blowhards on ESPN and some other places try to make it out like this, but that could have turned into a bigger negative, I guess. But I thought it was absolutely fabulous.
Sam Mellinger, KC Star columnist, joins us here on the SB Nation Kansas City podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Mellinger. Really good follow on Twitter, by the way. I'll go ahead and pump you up a little bit about that. Do you think that there was any kind of, I don't know how to phrase this without saying that I just want to get negative about what's going on with the Royals, and I'm going to bring up Frank White. Was there any kind of black cloud because Frank White was not involved in any of the at the stadium events? You know, they kept, they obviously George Brett was the ambassador and he was there in the forefront, but I mean, the guy whose name's at the bottom of the, you know, crown vision wasn't involved with MLB on this event. Is that kind of like going to tarnish this a little bit in just kind of Kansas City people's eyes, not in a national aspect?
Maybe. And I guess that would have been the correct answer to your last question is, you know, it would have been a little bit better if Frank was involved. But, you know, and I like Frank. I actually consider Frank a friend in a lot of ways. But, you know, this is something that he's chosen as much as the Royals. And you know, I mean this in all due respect to Frank. But I didn't miss him during those three games. And I don't mean that in a mean way or a disparaging way. Frank, in a lot of very real and irreplaceable ways, is the biggest icon that the Royals have. You know, George Brett is from California, much better player than Frank, but Frank is from Kansas City, worked on the construction crew to help build Royal Stadium, and you cannot make that up. It, you know, came through the Royals Academy, all these different things. Frank is Kansas City as much as anybody has ever been Kansas City. And, you know, yeah, I guess it did kind of stink that he wasn't involved. You know, I would imagine that if he was, it would have been, you know, George Brett throwing the first pitch to Frank White instead of Billy Butler before the game last night. But, you know, again, I didn't miss him. There wasn't a time during those festivities where I was like, there's a hole here. You know, I never felt that. I felt that the event was enormous and a lot of fun, and people cared and people cheered. If and when, and I think it's when, but if and when Frank and the Royals, you know, have some sort of reconciliation and you know, join hands and kiss and make up, you know, that'll be a great moment too. And, you know, the Royals will be better off for having Frank with them. Frank will be better off for having the Royals with him. That'll be a really cool moment. But, you know, for me, it just, I didn't feel like the saying, I think you used the word diminished. I didn't have that feeling.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I don't think a lot of people did. It was just kind of interesting, the dichotomy of it, because I know a lot of people are upset that Frank White, you know, wasn't a part of it, and the Royals and him have had their schism and everything. But I mean, the perfect person to be the ambassador is George White. He's the only Royals Hall of Famer. He's the face of this franchise, for better or for worse, because, you know, there's not been one since him to kind of be a Hall of Fame type player. So I don't feel like it diminished it from it at all. We're joined by Sam Mellinger here on the SB Nation Kansas City podcast today. Sam, a couple more for you before I have to let you go.
Sure.
How many more years will pass until Kansas City hosts another All-Star game?
It was 39, right?
Yeah.
Since the last one, so I'll say 40.
All right, got you down. For 40.
It'll be as long as it takes. You know, we won't get another game until and unless we build a new stadium.
My next question was going to be: is it going to be at a downtown stadium?
Yes. Yes, I do believe that. I think that that vote. Well, there never was a vote, but if you had a vote right now for a downtown stadium, it would fail miserably, you know, for a lot of reasons. But I do think, and you know, not the least of which is just the times that we're in, and you know, the economy, and people, you know, rightfully so, don't want to spend $400 or $500 or $600 or however many million dollars it would take to, you know, to build a stadium. That, you know, I think people are getting smarter about that and know that that's kind of a waste of public money when the school systems suck and, you know, the roads have holes in them and all those things. But yeah, I mean, I do think that that if the day comes where Kauffman Stadium needs to be replaced or needs the kind of renovations again that, that we did, gosh, it's been, what, 3 or 4 years now, if it needs those kinds of renovations, I do think that people will say, you know what, let's put that thing downtown, because it's real easy right now, and maybe it's because I live downtown now and I didn't when the vote happened, but, you know, there are times that, that I'm walking around down here and I'm like, mother effer, that would be really cool if we had a stadium where, you know, 30,000 people could come on a Friday night and watch a ball game.
It happened to me this past weekend. I was at the Death Cab for Cutie concert at the Crossroads, and friends were coming over from the Stuff of the Futures game, and I said, man, why don't you just walk down the street? Oh, wait, we don't have a downtown stadium, so
right.
I'm right there with you. There's times you're downtown, walk around, like, wow, how cool would it be to have something here as amazing as a, you know, Major League Baseball ballpark. Next one, when will Will Myers be called up?
I think that it will be by the end of the month. I think it's going to be pretty soon. I think the ideal situation would be that someone, maybe the Dodgers, someone gives the Royals an offer, and I would assume that the Royals would have to pick up some of Jeff Francoeur's salary, but, you know, that someone offers a middle, you know, a double-A prospect, or, you know, not that they need another one, but a middle reliever, you know, just something to take Jeff Francoeur off their hands, and then Will Myers would be the obvious and easy guy to call up. You know, in some ways, not to bring up an awful memory, but in some ways it's a similar situation that the Royals had last year when they traded Melky Cabrera and got a load of crap in return, obviously. But they had Lorenzo Cain ready to step in center field, and they really wanted to make that happen. I think that we're in that situation right now. Will Myers came along, I think, faster than the Royals expected. I think they expected to be in this position next year, not this year. But that's the one that makes sense. Move Francoeur, promote Will Myers, and see what the kid can do.
When does Jake Odorizzi get called up?
I think this month. I think, you know, maybe in August or something like that. But I think that he'll make his big league debut this year. You know, obviously we're assuming that he keeps going like he's going and doesn't get hurt and those things. But he's ready. I don't know what else, you know, people want to see him prove.
Last time you were booed?
I don't know. I mean, virtual boos on Twitter every day. No, I don't think I'm, you know, Reggie Jackson's line, obviously, about, you know, if they don't boo nobodies, I'm a nobody.
Yeah, well, virtual boos counts. I'm going to put every day on here because, trust me,
yeah,
as someone who's a Twitter presence.
Every day.
Now we're going to talk about someone else you work with at the KC Star. Kent Babb, complete boob or complete genius? Which one?
Complete boob. You said boob like B-O-O-B?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes. If people don't know, Mellinger and Babb, good friends. I know Babb, too. He's a great guy. He can take it. That's why we poke fun at him, because he can take it. He's a big boy. But
yeah, can I maybe, not to hijack your question, but I'll just say complete saggy boob.
Yes, I like that
okay.
one.
Okay.
I like that. Complete is saggy boob. I'm going to write that one down here. And lastly, and most importantly, favorite Black Keys song?
Wow. Right now, it's Little Black Submarine.
It's a great song.
But, yeah, other times it's I Got Mine or Next Girl are the two other standbys.
I really love Unknown Brother. The more and more I hear it, just I like that. I really like that song. And Keep Me is another one I really like.
Yeah,
Got Mine. I Got Mine's another really good one too. Sorry, we're geeking about Black Keys here, people. So
yeah,
I apologize.
And one more quick geeky Black Keys statement. Whatever, if you went down the list, like your 54th favorite Black Keys song is an awesome song.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, they are definitely. I got to see them at Can Rocks this last summer. It was an abbreviated set, so I'm a little disappointed. I know you've seen them all across the globe because you're a, you know, highfalutin newspaper guy,
right.
So you get to fly places and see them like in Fiji and stuff. But for us commoners,
yeah,
really,
that Fiji show was awesome.
Oh yeah, I bet it was. You and Clark Hunt hanging out there on the beach. That must have been nice.
Right.
So,
yeah, the naked women feeding you grapes was a good touch too.
I know. I'm telling you, man, they pay you guys too much to have the KC Star sit here and write about sports, but. Sam Mellinger was our guest here on the SB Nation Kansas City podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Mellinger. Great follow. Does a good job interacting. Has the Twitter Tuesday feature that he does. Sam, thanks for your time today. I've taken up too much of it. Have a great day.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, Craig.